I'm Ashley Sellers Hansen with the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Inspector General, speaking with Renee McGee Lennart, a project manager in our Office of Program Evaluation. Today, we'll be discussing needed improvements to EPA policies and guidance to enhance the protection of human study subjects. Renee, why did your team do this review?
This review was conducted in response to a congressional request. Based on that request, we sought to determine whether the EPA followed applicable laws, regulations, policies, procedures, and guidance when exposed human subjects to diesel exhaust emissions or concentrated airborne particles.
Can you elaborate on the objectives of this evaluation?
We had three specific objectives. These were to determine whether the EPA, one, obtained sufficient approval to expose subjects to specific levels of diesel exhaust emissions or concentrated airborne particles, two, obtain adequate informed consent from human study subjects before exposing them to diesel exhaust emissions or concentrated airborne particles, and lastly, three, adequately address any adverse events that occurred during the studies.
How many EPA studies did you evaluate?
Our review included five studies that exposed human subjects to diesel exhaust emissions or concentrated air particles during 2010 and 2011. The congressional requester asked us to look at three specific studies. However, as we began our work, we learned that EPA also had conducted two diesel exhaust studies in 2010 and 2011, so we included these in our evaluation as well.
What were your team's findings?
We found that EPA followed applicable regulations when it exposed 81 human study subjects to concentrated airborne particles or diesel exhaust emissions in the five studies. However, we identified improvements that could be made to the EPA's policies and guidance to enhance the protection of human study subjects.
What improvements did the team identify?
While the EPA obtained approval to conduct the five human research studies, we found that EPA's policies and guidance do not address when the approval of the EPA Human Studies Research Review Official, also referred to as the HSRRO, is needed for significant study modifications. Developing such guidance would ensure an independent review.
And what else did you find?
We also found that the EPA obtained informed consent from the 81 human study subjects before exposing them to pollutants. But while the consent forms met regulatory requirements, exposure risks were not always consistently represented. For example, only one study's consent forms included information about the upper range of pollutants to which study subjects would be exposed. Further, the EPA did not include information on long-term cancer risk in its diesel exhaust studies consent forms. We believe that presenting consistent risk information and risk about long-term cancer would ensure that human study subjects can make the most informed choice about participating in a study. We also found that EPA addressed adverse events during its study, reported them to the Institutional Review Board, and provided clinical follow-up after the events. Yet while the clinical follow-up appeared to be reasonable, the EPA's policies, guidance, and consent forms do not establish the agency's clinical follow-up responsibilities. Finally, one of our key findings was that EPA needs to update its guidance governing the reporting of adverse events in its human studies. According to EPA managers, the agency uses the latest adverse event definitions and reporting timeframes developed by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill's Institutional Review Board to respond to adverse events. However, the agency's guidance provides different definitions and reporting timeframes and does not state that the National Health and Environmental Effects Research Laboratory has adopted the university's Institutional Review Board definitions and timeframes.
What recommendations did the Office of Inspector General make to the agency?
In total, we made eight recommendations to the EPA, all of which can be found in our report. Some of those recommendations include, one, establishing procedures for obtaining HSRRO approval of significant study modifications. Two, ensuring that consent forms consistently address pollutant risk. Three, ensuring consent forms include any known or likely carcinogenic effects of pollutants that the EPA uses in human exposure studies. Four, updating the EPA's guidance to include the agency's clinical follow-up responsibilities. 5, in clarifying that the National Health and Environmental Effects Research Laboratory has adopted University of North Carolina Institutional Review Board definitions and reporting timeframes for adverse events.
Thank you so much, Renee, for sharing the results of this important evaluation on human study subjects. For more information about this report and other EPA OIG work, please visit our website at www.epa.gov/OIG and be sure to follow us on Twitter. The hashtag's at EPA OIG.